Blog Talk Radio.
For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Associate Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts with a mighty word from God this evening. Amen. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will come and bless our hearts with a word. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I will say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I invite you to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you. Father, I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will, and I will praise you for the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy Dupos from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So in the meantime, I will play another selection. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God.
Saving grace. Hold on. matter what you're going through. No. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. Yes, he will. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh, yes,
hold
he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Amen. Praise God. God of mercy, thank you for showing me your loving kindness. Thank you for granting me salvation, not only for eternity, but also in history. Thank you for speaking peace and mercy to your people, to your godly ones. Thank you for showing me mercy and empowering me to turn away from folly. I am grateful that your truth and mercy spring from the earth and that your compassion looks down from heaven. Indeed, God of mercy, you will give what is good for me and my life will yield its produce. Mercy and peace go before you, preparing a path that I can follow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus,
said I'm on my way and I won't said I'm on my way home. Ooh, said I'm on my way
Yeah, yeah. Anybody got a price? Anybody got a price? Anybody got a price, yo?
Amen. Mighty God of Israel, forgive me for failing to pray for your people, Israel, as you have instructed me to do in your word. Forgive me for the times I have turned an uncaring heart or a blind eye to the destruction that continues to ravage them as a nation. Forgive those who bring about this destruction on the innocent people in the land, and pardon the nation who have not used their abilities to help protect or strengthen your chosen ones. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
King of kings, King of kings, your
God of mercy, in your mercy and compassion, you have given me great and powerful promises. You enable me to share your divine nature and escape the world's corruption and the consequences of following my flesh desires. Your mercy equips me to live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Through the gift of your mercy, grant me peace of mind and heart so I will not be troubled or afraid. Your gift is from above, and it is not as the world gives. It is everlasting, and it is authentic. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled Pruned. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from John chapter 15, verse 2. And it says, every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. At times, there will be people, privileges, and blessings that are removed from your life without explanation. Suddenly, they are gone, and you may wonder if you have done something wrong or if God is punishing you. However, take heart. Jesus told us in advance that each fruitful believer would be pruned for greater effectiveness. He cuts out the extra branches, refocusing our lives to be even more productive for the sake of his kingdom. One area where we may experience this pruning is in places of past woundedness. Whether we realize it or not, we may be loving others with damaged emotions, drawn to unhealthy situations, and even destructive to ourselves. All issues that keep us from embracing the Lord's purpose for us. So God reveals our harmful attachments by cutting them out of our lives and showing us how detrimentally important to us they were. Detrimentary. The pruning process is not easy, but it is necessary. God loves you too much to let you live in bondage or miss his plan for you because of old wounds. So he will prune you in order to heal you. Don't resist him. Understand that this is for your good and will lead you to more fruitfulness than you ever imagined. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotion or message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Jesus, thank you for cutting out what doesn't belong in my life and for healing me. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes, he
everything.
Does. I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what. The problem may be,
He's in control
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come on, lift them up
in here. Oh, control. He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
In Him I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
be. Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
In Him I live.
If you believe that,
my
sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift Him up.
Oh, lift Him up. Rejoice.
And shout unto Him.
And shout unto
Him. The Lord you call Him.
worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Amen. El Elohim Yisrael, I ask you to grant peace to Israel. I ask you to extend your hand of compassion and mercy into the areas of destruction where men, women, and children are being injured and killed, and to rescue them. I pray for your power in the midst of chaos, your grace in the midst of despair. I lift up to you the government of Israel as well as the military, and pray that your kingdom agenda will be made manifest in them. Bring the Israelite people to a saving knowledge of you and protect them as they defend their innocent people from terrorists and militants. I bless Israel in your name today. El Elohim Yisrael, and ask you to bless them as well, and help me to share your heart for Israel. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. Amen. So in the meantime, I will play another selection.
I wanna be more.
El Elohim Jehovah, you are the mighty one. You are our mighty God, the Lord. We don't have adequate words in our language to express the great and mighty aspects of who you are. So we repeat the words in an attempt to give you a semblance of what is due you. Semblance. You know all. You are over all. You are stronger than all and everything combined. I praise you for your power, strength, and might, and I humbly bow before you to honor your rightful place in my life as El Elohim Jehovah, which means the mighty one, God the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen.
Oh,
Amen. Joy, unspeakable joy. And again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. And while we are waiting, I will play a short selection. Praise. Amen. No looking back. Praise be to God. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this evening? And happy Thankful Thursday. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I'm doing awesome. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Woo! Woo! I tell you, you know, you be looking, you going, oh, it's just Friday. And when you look again, it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, you know, people don't understand this. Preachers don't have around unless, you know, they just want to get on there and just throw out any word to you, then they can play around. But mm-hmm. the ones that know that this is nothing to play with, right, they have to constantly be studying, be in prayer, seeking God's faith for what God wants to tell you, right?
Amen.
A lot of people think we just come up with a word and start preaching that word, you know, based on who we see out there. No, it doesn't work like that. Uh-uh. You go before God. You know why? My goodness, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. King Solomon, the Bible said he was the wisest king or man that ever lived, right? You
yes.
know why? Because after he was giving the position to watch over God's people, he went back and asked God how to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. He said, these are your people. Only you know how I need to rule over them. And God said he was the wisest man ever lived. Not only did he get what he asked for, he got what he really wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he never asked for. Come on now, my goodness, glory to God. So with that being said, you understand that if we're going to preach God's word, my goodness, to God's people, we've got to do the same thing. We've got to go before God and say, God, only you know who's going to be on that line. What would you have me to say to him tonight? My goodness, glory to God. That's good stuff right there.
Amen.
So we're not just making up a word. Right,
mm-hmm.
even when we come out there in front of the congregation, we've already prayed all week long, sought God's face. God, only you know what's going to happen on Sunday. Only you know who's going to be in the building. What would you have me to say to them? And then you get in that word and you keep reading and studying and studying. And then all of a sudden you reading, bam, and he won't let you move. You'll get on one sentence. And you'll just, the Holy Ghost will start feeding stuff in your spirit. You're like, whoa, I have to get all this in here. Because that's what he wants you to come out with. If he didn't want you to come out with that, the Holy Spirit would unction your spirit and give you all that extra stuff. He's giving you extra stuff because he said, this is where I want you to come from. My goodness, glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you tonight.
Thank
you, oh God, because you allowed us another day of life, health, and strength, oh God. You took us to and fro and kept us safe, oh God. For that we say thank you, God. Father God, you protected us from danger seen and unforeseen. We didn't see half of the stuff that you protected us for. Thank you, God, for giving your angels charge over us. Yes, for them blocking those things that would have caused us harm.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw fit to protect us, Abba Father, our
yes.
protector.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. No one, absolutely no one could protect us the way that you do. And for that, we say thank you, oh God. Thank you. We don't deserve everything you give us, but we are so forever grateful that you continue to give it to us, oh God. Thank you for never giving up on us. Now, Father God, I'm going to get out of your way and allow you to use me as a mouthpiece to speak your word to the people, oh God. Have your way on this night. We know that your word will never fall on deaf ears. So we know that it's going to accomplish what it's set out to accomplish. And those that give ear to hear what thus mm-hmm. says the Lord will be blessed, and as a result, you and only you, God, will get the glory. In mm-hmm. Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
My goodness, glory to God.
Thank you, God.
This word is so good. Look, this word is so good that while the Holy Ghost was giving me the commentary, I was running out of paper. I was running out of computer space. I was like, oh, man, I got notes all over the place. That's okay. Because, you know, this is one of those times. See, people don't really know how to study. When you study, you don't just read. You read and you write. You know why? Because as you're writing, you're saying in your mind what you're writing. You're going, oh, yeah. And, oh, he is the left hand of my feet. And he is... Because you're writing it, but you're saying it also. Mm-hmm. Unconsciously, you don't even think about it. As you're writing, you're saying it, right? So you're not just reading. You're reading it, and then you're writing the parts that you want to really bring out. And that's the part when you go, Holy Ghost, bring it back to my remembrance. He starts reminding you of everything you wrote out. Why? Because you was reading it, or you were saying it in your mind. And yes. when you said it in your mind, it got in your spirit. Ooh, that was a good lesson right there.
Amen.
Yes, so the next time y'all get ready to study, make sure you write some of it out because it's going to get in your spirit. Thank you. Hello, that was free. I ain't going to charge you for that one. Ooh, yes, Lord. I thank all of you for joining in tonight. We got a word that is delicious. Ah, y'all thought I was going to say good. No, it's delicious tonight. Yes, sir. Ooh, when I look at this word. You can't help but love what God gives you because he always going to give you something that's good. Ooh, that was free too. He always going to give you something that's good for you. Yes. It's not like you going, you go in a restaurant and you know how those people nowadays, they're like, how many calories is in that? Oh, that ain't good for me. Oh, no, that's too sweet. I can't handle sweet. Oh, what about? No, no. When it comes from God, it is always going to be good for you. Yeah, because God knows what you can handle. Yes. He knows you can handle that sweet. He knows how many calories you want to eat. He already knows. So everything he gives you is going to be good for you. Listen, this is one meal that all you got to do is eat it. You ain't even got to press it. You ain't got to worry about too much salt, too much sugar. Mm. All you got to do is eat it. Mm-hmm. I like those kind of restaurants. They know exactly what to put in and what not to put in. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. Ooh, look where we come from. Okay, we are coming from full of Matthew in the middle of your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. And then go on down into the New Testament, and we're going to do Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Huh? Yeah, Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 through 22, and then Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, and I was just instructed by the Holy Ghost to give you the title of my message. Yes, the title of this message is Content with My Husband. That's good stuff. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Content with My Husband. Oh, God, I love you. Content with my husband. Yes, sir. Here we go. Matthew chapter 6, 20 through 22 says, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves, where thieves cannot break in and steal. You know what that means, right? Okay, I'll tell you about that later. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. And so we really don't need 22, just 20 and 21. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. I don't know where that noise is coming from. Help me, Jesus. But you are making me work super hard trying to get louder than the noise, when really all you got to do is mute your phone. We won't hear the background noise. There you go. Thank you. You're so sweet. I love you. Okay, and then verse 21 says, so where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thank you, God. And then we're going to go on over to Philippians 4, verses 10 through 12. And it says, now I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Verse 11 says, I am not saying this out of need, for I have learned to be content regardless of my circumstances. Verse 12, I know how to live humbly, and I know how to abound. I am accustomed to any and every situation, to being filled and being hungry, to have plenty and to have a need. My goodness, glory to God. May the Lord continue to add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Again, the title of this message tonight is Content with My Husband. I love this because God starts out saying, store up yourselves, your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust won't destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. I love the fact that he said, where thieves do not break in and steal. If you, my goodness, glory to God, watch this. If you store up your treasures in heaven, and thieves are not able to steal, you know what? Satan ain't coming up to heaven. He ain't looking for your treasure in heaven.
That's
Come on
right.
now. God says, store up your treasures in heaven. So set your, my goodness, glory to God, set your mind on heavenly things, okay? Let your desires be heavenly. You know why? Satan ain't going to try to touch that. He want to jack you up down here. He ain't trying to jack you up. If your mind is just walking through paradise and you are contented because you're facing heaven down here on earth. Oh, my goodness, that's good stuff right there. Even though you're walking through this earth, life here on earth, because you have set your sight on heaven and the things of God, it's easy to be content. Watch this.
That's right. Absolutely.
My goodness, glory to God. My goodness, here we go. So, You understand that he says, so if you do that, thieves cannot break in and steal it. Satan can't steal what you got going on in heaven. If he was God, oh my goodness, if he was God, he wouldn't have had to get kicked out, because he would have been doing the kicking. He said, now you got to go. I ain't going nowhere. I'm God. But he couldn't do that because he wasn't God. So when God said, get to stuff, and the only thing he could do, and God said, hey, don't take none that belongs to me. Take everything that belongs to you, like all of them. Don't want to follow you. Take them with you, but don't take mine. And so he had to get to stuff because he wasn't God. Come on now. Now watch this. So God said, set up your treasures. This is good, y'all. Watch this. I have to keep saying it. He says, make sure that you have set your sight on treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, watch this, there your heart will be also. So for everybody out there that walking around going, God knows my heart, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your, oh my goodness, watch this. He knows your heart because he sees your treasures. Ooh, yeah, yeah. So guess what? You can't fool God. Huh? Why we think we can fool God? God knows my heart. Don't judge me. God knows my heart. Well, I ain't judging you. God is. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So play that song for somebody else. Because you don't need to worry about me judging you. I ain't got heaven or hell to put you in. But the ultimate judge, the one that's really doing the judging, guess what? He does. And he's looking at all your treasures. You cannot tell God, oh, God, I just want to be humble. I want to be Christ-like. And someone comes to you and said, you think you got $2 you could spend me so I can get me some lunch today? Oh, I wish I could. I ain't got no money. Or you come in with your lunch and you see everybody down the hall and you go the other way so no one has to see that you get ready to eat your lunch because you don't want to offer none. Or you get ready to go through a door and you see somebody coming, so you hurry up and go through the door so you don't have to hold it for them. Or you see somebody coming down the hall and you turn and go the other way because you don't want to say good morning. Yeah. God sees that your treasures are here on earth.
Yes.
You want to look good. You want to smell good. You want everybody to think you good. Come on now. You got Gucci purse. You got Gucci napkins. I don't know what the thing is today. Coach, Gucci, whoever. Louis, I don't know who it is nowadays. Because guess what? I still got Skiffy. For those of you that don't know what Skiffies are, back in the day, you used to have Croquettes, and the other sneakers were Skiffies, and Skiffies cost $2. Croquettes cost $12. So I'm still wearing Skiffies. You got some kids out there got on Jordans. Huh? My grandson looked at me the other day. I told him, I said, I got those sneakers right there because they were lime green. Anybody that knows me know that I wear a lot of bright colors. When I tell you my daddy was West Indian, that was up in my head. All those bright colors he wore because it looked good to me. Even though he was wearing bright colors, it looked good. I said, good Lord, how can a man wear such bright colors? And I harbored on it so much that in my growing up, I learned to like bright colors. I started, you know, just picking up bright colors, and I didn't even realize I was doing it until I was grown, and everyone was teasing me because I was wearing bright colors. So I seen the kid with some lime green sneakers, and I said, ooh, I got those sneakers. My grandson looked at the kid. He looked at me. He said, Grandma, you got those sneakers? I said, yeah. He said, those green ones right there. I said, yep, those green ones right there. He said, Grandma, you got those sneakers? I said, yep. He said, look at them, Grandma. You sure those are the ones you got? I looked at sneakers. I said, yep, those are the ones I got. He said, girl, you know those are Jordans, right? I said, they what? He said, they Jordans. So when I said they what, I mean, $150? I said, that's what they are? He said, yeah. So he looked back at me again. Grandma, those are the ones you got? I said, no, but they lime green. I must got Ortons or something. I ain't got no Jordans. I said, but they all lime green, dude. He's like, girl, I know you ain't spent $150 on those sneakers. How you know? I could have treated myself. Why you trying to punk me? I could have treated myself to some $150 sneakers. I wouldn't have been able to get me nothing to eat, but I still would have had my $150 sneakers. So, anyhow, you're saying that, content with my husband. And so now we see that he's saying, store up your treasures in heaven that your heart may be there also. You think they're worrying about wearing some Jordans in heaven? You think they're worrying about wearing some Nikes? And I know everybody's going, well, we ain't in heaven yet. We down here on earth. You know everybody looking at what you got on. So are they buying everything you got on? No. They're not buying your clothes for you. And if they're not buying your clothes for you, then they don't need to worry about what you're wearing. until they can take you to the store and say, get what you want. Then
that's
you wear what you can. But here, the reason why Paul says, I've learned to be content, right? But you got to understand, God is telling us what to do so we don't have to be embarrassed. If we set our mindset on earthly, on heavenly treasures, because that's what our heart's going to be, we're never going to be embarrassed.
That's right.
Because we're not worrying about fulfilling ourselves while we're in this world. Yeah, you want to look good. Yeah, you want to feel good. You want to go out there, do your good job, and do all those things. But guess what? Ultimately, your mindset is, but when I get to heaven, and the streets are paved in gold, oh, my goodness, and Jesus got a mansion with my name on it.
Come on now.
So that if you do like Pastor Kathy, and you wear a $12 shoe instead of a $50 shoe, you don't care, because you're looking down going, it match my outfit, I'm cool. You know? Come on now. And you got on a jacket cost $6, and everybody else's jacket cost $60, you don't care. Because you're telling yourself, you look good, because when I get to heaven, oh, my goodness. Huh? So guess what I told on myself, y'all? I told them my daddy was West Indian. My daddy didn't spend a lot of money on nothing, not one thing except his house. He always had a really big house, right? And that's the only thing I've seen that he spent money on, his house, not even his car, because, you know, everybody was driving Cadillacs and all kinds of things. He had us in a station wagon because he kept telling us he got too many kids for those kind of cars. We're like, what the hell? We didn't care as long as we all could get in the car.
But you couldn't.
Because that just meant we didn't have to take the bus because we all could fit in these station wagons that he had. Now, don't get me wrong. He wasn't crazy. On the weekends, he drove in a Cadillac. Huh? He had an Eldorado. And we said, why he do that on the weekend? Because I ain't riding with y'all. I'm getting ready to go out here to show you how I got y'all. Oh, my goodness, glory to God. Say it ain't so, Lord, say it ain't so. Oh, yes, he was. He was a West Indian that looked good and he liked women. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, yeah, he done gone to use the Lord. So anyhow, throw up your treasures in heaven. And this is what God is telling you. He said, don't be a fool. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also. But you know what they said? I was reading the commentary, and the commentary said that many people have fooled themselves into thinking they can have it both ways. They could have their treasures here on earth and in heaven, right? They persuaded themselves, well, I'm here on earth, I'm going to have earthly treasure, and then when I get to heaven, I'll have But the commentary says, in the long run, one will outdo the other. Okay? And so one is going to say, you either going to have me or you're going to have that. Because guess what? When you're in the world, you're going to start thinking like the world. You're going to start doing like the world. When your mind is heavenly bound, you're going to start thinking heavenly. And so that's where the battle comes in. Right? The battle comes in because You know what the Word of God says. You can't serve mammon and God. Because what happens is you're going to start loving one more than the other.
Yes.
Chances are, and I don't know for sure, chances are you're going to like the world more than heaven. Why? Because you're still in the world.
Right.
Right? So because you're here, you're going to want to wear your matching sneakers and your jeans and everything, looking good, smelling good. Well, anybody that knows me, I do all those things where I don't spend no whole lot of money because I ain't got no money. I have to go to the store. Look, I just thought about my grandkids. I said, oh, Lord, this town ain't got no city trip. So look what my grandson going to tell me. He going to look at me and go, well, you still got roses. I said, oh, thank God. Whew, thank God I'm okay now. Now, for those of you that know, Roses is like a Walmart, not Walmart, a Walmart, because they're a little bit under Walmart. They're a little bit under Walmart. When you go to Roses, it's like going to a bargain store or something. But I don't care. If it look good, it's all right with me. Who cares? Right, I ain't got sitting a whole lot on it because I ain't got it. So I got to get to the meat before I get cut off. Okay. So now you know you've got to learn to be, you've got to set your mind on the things of heaven. Now we're going to get over here to Paul that says why, right? Because while you're saying God knows my heart, God is saying, you know, I'm not a God to be mocked, right? Because I know your heart, and your heart is not set on the things in heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay? So here we go. If you learn to be content, this is a part that I love about Paul. Paul says, I've learned to be content.
That's
and
right.
I'm not just saying this because I have a need for something. I truly learned to be content. Watch this. The commentary took me all the way back to Adam and Eve. And guess what? It says Eve didn't know how to be content. I said, what in the world? Because if they did, Adam and Eve was in paradise.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. They were already in paradise.
Come on.
What more could they want it?
Yes, they were.
Right? But Satan or Lucifer, the snake, told her, you know what? He just don't want you to eat the fruit because you're going to become like him. So that means they were not content with being in paradise. They wanted to be God. They wanted to see what God had. Because that's how he got it. He says he knows when you eat that fruit, you're going to become just like him. Oh, really? Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They weren't content because if they were, they should have just looked at him and said, we don't need to eat no fruit. We can have anything in this whole garden. Anything.
Any.
We don't need that one little tree that he's saying we can't eat.
All right.
Mm-mm. Look at all this. Uh-uh. But they didn't know how to be content.
Nope.
Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. Watch you now. So, and not only that, thank you, Holy Ghost. I got to back up. He says, some angels in heaven didn't know how to be content. You know how I know? Because if they knew how to be content, they wouldn't have gotten kicked out.
Right?
You in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven. It don't get no better than that. Lucifer had to come down and try to be God and see what God was doing. What's all this you don't know? What's this you don't know? What? Oh, look at that. Lucifer, where you been? I've been out and about. Out and about where, Lucifer? On Earth. What you doing on Earth, Lucifer? Just roaming the streets, trying to see what you created.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why are you doing that? I was thinking maybe I could be in charge down there. Oh, really? Okay. So you're not content with everything that I've already supplied you with. You want what you think someone else is going to have. So you go on down there. Get on out of here and take all of them that want to be with you. Not being content started a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
If Lucifer was content being in heaven, he wouldn't have been wandering through the earth behind God to see what was down there. He'd have been content because he was in a whole nother paradise. You got to understand what God is saying. If you in heaven and you ain't content, I put you in the Garden of Eden, you're not content there. It doesn't get any better than the paradise that God sets up for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was dating a guy one time, and I was saying, oh, da-da-da, da-da. And he said, what in the world? Now, look how he had to tell me he was dating me because of the favor on my life. Now, I'm dating a dude. He said, you're the only person I know in the jewelry store kicking all the jewels around. Saying, oh, this ain't the jewelry I want. This ain't jewelry. I want other jewelry. And I looked at him, and I said, what is that supposed to mean? He said, you don't see all this favor on you? And you inside the jewelry store where you can pick and choose anyone you want. Because, see, when God gives you favor, favor means you get to get a whole lot of stuff that you want. Yeah, because favor ain't fair. A lot of people look and go, how she get that favor? How he get that favor? Favor ain't fair. You want favor. Favor is better than money. I don't care what nobody say. Mm-hmm. And so after he told me that, I was like, I'm in the jewelry store kicking the jewels, saying, this ain't what I want. This ain't. And the jewelry store is full of jewelry. My goodness, glory to God. And that's what God is telling us now. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve, they were not content. That's how Lucifer got her attention. He knows when you eat from that tree, your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to see what he sees, have the same knowledge that he has. Yep. If they were content, they would have known, you got all the knowledge you need. You're never going to be God. And so this is what I love about Paul. Paul says, I have learned to be content. Mm-hmm. Not that I have everything I want. Huh? He says, but it does not matter. I've learned to be content regardless of my circumstance. But guess what else he said? He said, I learned to be content. I did not know how to be content. Guess what that means? When he became a Christian, God had to show him how to be content, right? He said, yes. I learned this. I didn't know how. Look what he said. Y'all see it on the scripture? He says, I learned to be content.
Yeah.
Because whether I got the food that I want or just the food that I need, mm-hmm. I've learned to be content. Why? Because I set my sights on heavenly things. My treasures are in heaven.
Yes.
Right? I set my sight elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that whether or not I got a whole lot of food on my table or just peanut butter and jelly and bread,
amen.
I learned to be content. You
That's
know
right.
what he said? He set his sights on heaven, and everybody's mm-hmm. going, well, you live on earth. He set his sights on heaven. That means regardless what's on my table to eat, whether it's peanut butter and jelly or whether it's a steak sandwich, I still see God in the midst.
All right.
Right? Come on now. Come on now. Paul is saying, because I still have something to eat.
Amen.
So I've learned to be content with whatever I have. He said, whether I'm happy or whether I'm sad, I still learn to be content. Why? Because I still see God in the midst of it. Right? That's when you set your treasures in heavenly mm-hmm. places. So Paul is saying, I joyfully know how to be thankfully patient regardless of my circumstances. Why?
Amen.
Because I know that God is still in the midst.
That's
Paul
right.
says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I can't do it on my own,
That's
but I
right.
can do it with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how
yep.
I can learn how to be content. And as I was reading that, the commentary was saying, actually, the Bible is extending the contentment to every Christian out there. Because when you learn to be content, that just means one thing. You know how to trust God.
Amen.
Regardless of what your situation is looking like,
Amen.
You know how to trust God. That's
yeah.
what it boils down to.
Yes.
If he set his sights in heavenly places, he's
Amen.
Content knowing God
Thank
is still
you.
With him.
Thank you, God.
He didn't leave me because I'm eating peanut butter and jelly. He didn't mm-hmm. leave me because I don't have this job. He didn't leave me because he walked out on me. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
So I've learned to be, watch this, I've learned to be content with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Well, as Christ is saying that we are his bride,
come
that
on,
he must
God.
Be our husband.
Yes.
And if he is our husband, we have to learn how to be content with him.
Absolutely.
Ooh, I looked at that thing. He says, learn to be content with your husband.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes.
He says, my wife is a backslider. My bride is a backslider. She does all kind of things on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because she's seeking after worldly possessions. She doesn't know that I still, no matter what she obtains there on earth, I still have everything she needs.
Amen.
When Paul learned how to be content, he learned how to trust God. That's what that means. He learned how to trust God.
That's right. Just like
whether he has a little or a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Whether you are giving him something or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I learned to trust God in all my circumstance. Regardless who's there for me, I still trust God, not them.
That's right.
It may look like my employer is signing my check, but God sent me to the job.
Mm-hmm.
It may look like I got all the money I need to get the groceries that I desire. Well, God made sure that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's providing for all of my needs.
Amen.
He is my provider. Yes. That's why I continue to look to the hills from which comes my help.
Mm-hmm.
My help ain't coming from down here.
Mm-mm.
My help comes from the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on now. And when you know this, that's how you're able to be content.
Yes.
Paul said, I had to learn this. I had to learn, even when I'm sad, God is still in the midst.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says he's going to comfort me, right, on my broken, darkest days. He is there to shed the light. And I have had some broken, torn up days, and I'm trying to tell you, right when I step my foot over here, something snatches me all the way back. So I'm going, as soon as I get in the clear, something snatches me over to the other side, and I'm back in deep doo-doo again.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I'm going, oh, thank you, God. We can do this. We can do that. We're going to save money. We're going to da-da-da. And then, you know, I ain't got no money. I'm going, oh, we got all this food in the refrigerator. And then, you know, ain't no food in the refrigerator.
Of course.
Right? You look, you looking in there, you're going, thank God I saved those crackers. Woo! I could eat those crackers. Yes, Lord.
Absolutely.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're learning how to be content regardless of your circumstance. Why? Because you have set your sights on that your treasures are in heaven, and you set your sights on heavenly things. And your being content is you trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can be content with your husband. Now, that shoe is on the other foot. He can't be content with us. Oh, no, no, no. He said his bride is a backslider. He's married to the backslider.
Absolutely.
Right? That means every time I turn around, that's why he sent Jose out there. He said, go get her again.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what?
Yep, go get her.
I done bought her and everything, and she done went back out there and prostituted her. He said, go get her again. He went back out there, got her. Oh, thank you, honey. I love you so much. You know I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to do right. And she crept on back out the window.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why would you do that? I paid the price for you to be my wife. Okay, honey, I do love you. I'm not going to do it again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jose go to sleep. She sneaks back out again. She was just a prostitute. And God did that because he used Hosea to show the Israelites that you guys are prostituting yourselves against me. I paid a good, hefty price to get you, but you're not content with me. You still want to go out and do what you want to do. That's why God says, be content with your husband. If we are the bride, he is our husband.
Yes, he is.
But we haven't learned to be content with him. We still have desires that we think we need to get to. There's nothing we can really achieve without God. But we're so foolish. We think, oh, we got to work this job. Oh, we got to get the money. Oh, we have to get the house. Oh, we have to. As soon as you start we, and God is like, so you don't think that as I told you, I would provide for you.
Mm-hmm.
I would be there for you. Mm-hmm. I would meet your every need. That you don't believe that you can be content with me. Paul had to learn that. He had to learn how to be content with God. And guess what? God is the only one that was there to show him how to be content. You know why? Because whenever Paul thought he could not make it, he couldn't do it, his faithfulness to God, waiting on God, God showed up. And every time God showed up was when Paul needed him the most.
Yeah.
And so because of that, Paul says, you know what? I learned to be content.
And
he said, because I know no matter what my circumstances are, as long as I wait on God, he's going to show up.
Amen.
Huh? I've learned how to trust him. God is saying, when are you going to be content with your husband?
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to learn you can trust me?
Mm-hmm.
When will you understand I am here, and because I'm here and I see you there and I see your every need, that I am the only one that can provide for your need?
Yes.
Now, you know, they used to look at me like I'm crazy and I'm getting ready to come in for a close, because I said, I don't work for them. You know, my boss be down hall and they said, you know, such and such is coming. And I said, Ann, I don't work for her. I work for God. I'm more concerned what God is seeing me do than what she's going to see me do. And they're looking at me like, you think she can't fire you? And she can't fire me. She didn't hire me. God hired me. He said, Kathy, go on over here. I said, go on over there. That's a little ways from the house. Go on, Kathy, go on, give you this job. I went on over there, and they told me they're going to give you those 2 pennies. I said, 2 pennies? Oh, y'all got me twisted. I said, don't go. Take the job. I said, 2 pennies? Lord, I can't live on no 2 pennies. Yes, you can, because you got me. You are content knowing that you have me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I'm trying to think of the lady in the Bible that was so upset because she couldn't give her husband kids. And the husband said, but you still have me. I give you everything you need. She wasn't content because she wanted to have, who was it? She wanted to have babies for him. I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Was it Echaniah? Elkin?
No.
Yeah. And his wife.
Echaniah was the husband.
The husband, that's what I'm saying.
He
had
two wives, Sophia.
And she couldn't have kids. And so she was so upset because she couldn't have the kids. And he said, but I give you everything you need. She said, it doesn't matter. I want to have kids. He said, what? You got me. Why are you not content with knowing that I'm your husband and I love you? And that is what God is saying. Content with your husband, because the love that this husband has for us, oh my goodness, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us even though he can't be content with us. Why? Because we're running all over the place doing all kind of things. But he still loves us.
Yes.
And he's still chasing after us.
Oh yeah.
Why? Because he refuses to let us go. He has a love that nothing and no one will ever be able to match.
Nobody.
Today, God is just saying,
mm-hmm.
why can't you learn to be content with your husband? That's all he's asking. And yeah. And what he's saying there is just like Paul said. Paul said, it doesn't matter what situation I'm in, what my circumstances, I've learned to be content. Huh? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because you guys met my needs, because you see in Philippians, people said, I rejoice because now y'all know I had an opportunity to show me how concerned you were, and you did all this for me. He said, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that y'all did all that for me. He said, because I learned to be content. That's regardless right. of my situation, whether I had plenty or little, whether I was hungry or filled. Well, I learned to be content. Why? Because I learned to trust God in all things.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it falls down to. When he says learn to be content with your husband, you are saying when Paul said he was content, he was saying, I learned to God.
Amen.
God says, if you can learn to be content with your husband, all this other stuff won't matter because you know your husband is right by your side and he's going to meet your every need. You might not always get what you want, but you will always have what you need.
Amen.
Learn to be content with your husband. Your heavenly Father, you can trust him. It's a love that will never die.
Amen.
Huh? Come on now. Be content with your husband. Amen. God bless you guys.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Pastor Kathy for that wonderful word. I think that deserves a hand clap. Praise. Praise be to God. We lost Pastor Kathy, but it was a wonderful word. And 704-724, do you have a comment about the word this evening? Oh, there's Pastor Kathy. It came back.
I did love the word tonight. Like I said, I'm always glad and appreciated to hear the word. A guy from, you know, from Pastor Kathy. I gladly appreciate every, you know, Thursday hearing that from her. And
yes.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise be to God.
God bless you, Elder. He had to say something because he thinks I keep texting him, thinking he's not on the line because I don't hear from him. He said, let me say something so she know I'm on the line. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, but we had lost you. But thank God you came back.
Yeah, when I took off the headset, it just cut me off. But that's okay. God made a way for me to get back on. God bless
you.
Yeah,
because as long as you get back in before 8 o'clock. The rest of you had 678-760-704-352-716-510. And so those are the callers that was on but left. So at this time, you'll give the call to salvation and the benediction.
Is Elder still on the line? Still hung up too?
No, he's still there. He hung up.
I'm going to do the call to salvation. See, you got to understand how God works. When you're constantly listening to the Word of God, God knows he has your attention because you're listening now. You keep getting on. And if you keep getting on, it's because God is drawing you. If he's drawing you, it's because he has a purpose for you. If he has a purpose for you, then he said to the teacher, allow them to get used during the service. And I know y'all think, she just want me to pray. No, I'm letting you get prepared for where God is taking you. So after I do this call of salvation, I'm going to ask Elder Theo if he would close us out of prayer, but I'm going to do the
question. He left.
He left? They all left?
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, they just want to let you know I was on the line.
Yeah.
I was listening. But I'll do the call of salvation, and then I'll close us out.
Yes.
For all of you that don't know Jesus, have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior yet, it is not too late.
God is saying all you have to do is repeat that prayer.
Yes.
Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. I know that your son Jesus died on the cross for our sin. I am asking you to come into my life. I want to make you my Lord and Savior. Huh? And after you pray that prayer, God is saying, I was waiting on you. Right? And then all you have to do is say, Father God, lead and guide me to a good household of faith so I can learn and grow and come into the knowledge of who you are and your desire for my life. Yes. Amen. We make it hard for people to come in, and it's not that hard.
Mm-mm.
All they got to do is confess their sins. They got to say with their mouth that they believe Jesus does exist, and he did die on that cross for us. And then you've got to invite him into your life. And after you do that, he's in there.
He's
in there. Let him constantly go to God in prayer so he can lead and guide you in your next step. Because it is a daily walk, a daily walk. Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
So graciously came to us and reminded us we need to trust you more. And as soon as we learn to be content with you, then we have arrived at the place that we trust you no matter how it looks. So we thank you for gently coming in and saying, learn to be content with me, just knowing that I am there with you. We thank you, oh God. We love you. We honor and adore you because you are always there. You meet our every need.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we go lacking for nothing with you by our sides, acknowledging you, giving you thanks, speaking to you in prayer. Thank you, God, for giving ear to hear what we're saying to you. Not just one way that we're listening to you, but thank you for listening to us, God. To hearing our cries late at night when no one else is around. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We ask that you continue to lead in the way you would have us to go. And Father God, as you helped Paul, help us to learn to be content with you.
Yes.
In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. God bless you and thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
God bless you guys. Thank you. Love you too.
Love you. Bye. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Pray One for Another.
Praise be to God.
You can't hurry gone. Oh no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry,
you can't hurry.
He'll be there. Don't you worry,
don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry, God. Oh no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes.
Maker,
great powers untold,
he will give you the strength.
carry on.